You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I think that guy is still screaming goal. Legitimately, I think he's still screaming goal. Not for Mexico. Man, I kind of wanted them to win last night.
No, they were looking good.
I have never, ever in my life watched a sport. This is the first time I've ever watched soccer. And we are now all in. I have never watched something that is so exciting so many times where nothing ends up happening. And I reached out to our friends over at 96.5 The Fan today because the United States plays tonight. Rob Britton said, yep, I'm your guy. I will come on. I will talk soccer. We're not going to break the games down. But this is historic. People like me who have never, ever watched this sport are now actively watching this sport. We don't understand it. But man, I'm telling you, it's been really fun to watch.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I love it.
Was it the national team for America that got you in, or was it just the tournament in general?
Just the tournament in general. And last night, I kind of felt like guilty that we should be cheering for England, but I found myself pulling for Mexico. And in the last 20 minutes, they had like 96 chances to score a goal, mm-hmm. and they didn't.
Up a man. I believe he went out in the 55th minutes. They had 35 minutes up a man. They actually conceded a goal to go down 3-1. And then it was just all hands on deck. The tournament is great to me for a lot of reasons. But one thing that I've really loved, and I don't know if you as a casual picked up on this, when a team wins, they go celebrate with their fans. And I always make the equation to college sports. Because you've been to KU games, you know, K-State games, whatever. When your team wins, it's a celebration with your fan base. Chiefs fans, you know, they have that moment. Royals have that moment. But you saw last night, I'll use England as the example. When they won, their whole fan section is screaming the Oasis song, Wonderwall. And then their best player's name is Jude Bellingham. They, as a whole fan group, sing Hey Jude. The United States has adopted Country Roads by John Denver. It's the connection between fan and country has been really, really fun to watch, I imagine, as a casual.
So this has gotten to be such a big deal that our pickleball league tonight, and I don't know that they would cancel that thing for Lightning. They are serious about their pickleball when we play in this league. And last week, I said to the coach, I go, we can't play next Monday night.
Mm-mm.
United States is playing next. For those words to come out of my mouth, Rob, that's insanity. And he actually said, oh my gosh, I hadn't even thought about that. United States is playing. They canceled the entire thing tonight.
Whole league got canceled?
The entire league. Because people want to watch this. Even very casual fans that are just sort of new to this whole thing want to watch. And so let's start with the historic nature of tonight. What United States has not done this since when?
So they have been to this point a bunch. It's just the new expanded tournament makes this point a little bit new. So in the past, you would come out of your group and you'd go right to the round of 16. It'd be like,
got it.
You play those first three games, Sweet 16. This is historically where the United States lost. They lost to this round in 2022. They didn't qualify in 2018. They lost to this round in 2024. They lost in this round in 2010. They, in the round of 16, cannot get over that hump. So it's historic in the fact they hadn't won a knockout round game in 24 years. Now, they've added a knockout round game, so it's a little bit of grain of salt. They did this historic thing, but they're actually the exact same point they've always been. If they overcome Belgium and win tonight, it'll be the first time since 2002 they've made the quarterfinals, which would be...
Give me the basketball equivalent.
Elite Eight.
Okay, thank you.
This is... I'm trying to think. I don't want to throw one school under the bus here. KU is a bad example because they go past the Elite Eight. This is K-State making a miraculous run to the Elite Eight. Remember, they lost that 1 year to Loyola. It's like, oh, we still made the Elite Eight. We still hang a banner. We still celebrate this Elite Eight moment. That's the United States. They don't get to hear a lot. So if they win tonight, they go to a place they've never been or once, basically, ever.
Tell me about Belgium. Can we beat them?
Yes, they can. Belgium is a team that's a little long in the tooth. They are, so for soccer nerds and diehards like myself, the United States lost to Belgium in 2014 in the World Cup. Matt Beasler was on the field, local guy. Yeah. It was heartbreaking, 120 minutes. A lot of the players on the Belgium team in 2014 are on this 2026 team. I don't have to explain soccer age 12 years is different than human 12 years.
Yes.
If you are on that team, you are old now. A lot of those players have carried over. Meanwhile, the United States has none of the same players from 2014 to now. So they are the younger, more athletic, more explosive team. So they should win. However, if you want to believe in FIFA rankings, which is an independent arbiter of who the best teams in the world are. They have Belgium at 9 in the world, and they have the United States at 15.
Okay.
So they will probably be a back and forth.
We are considered the underdog.
Correct. They are the underdog based on rankings. So, but because of the age and how they perform in the tournament, the United States has looked better so far than Belgium. So there's a belief they can finally get past this hurdle.
We were coming in tonight, it was my understanding, with one fewer player. Mm-hmm. But that's a new thing for me with soccer, too, that you can just strike a player down and like you don't get to replace that player and backfill mm-hmm. that with somebody else. Now we have regained the services of said player.
Yes.
Hugely controversial.
That is an understatement. So it's kind of a complicated situation. I'll try to keep this as simple as possible. The play itself that led to Balogun's, the player you're referring to, being sent off in the Bosnia game and then subsequently suspended for this game was a bad call.
It was a bad call.
He should not have been suspended. He should not have been removed from the game. None of that should have happened. I think at the end, the idea that he is eligible to play and that he's back on the field is justice being done. The process is the problem because there's no appeal process in the World Cup. It's basically just vibes. However FIFA feels, how FIFA goes.
It's so crazy.
It's not a good process. So they announced, I have to remember the date of the games here. They announced on Friday or Thursday last week, no appeal process. Then on Sunday they said, yeah, we looked into it just on our own free will. And we said, turns out wrong call. He's back. Belgium is understandably very upset.
Obviously, we would be furious if the tables were turned.
Exactly. And it's basically, there's laws and bylaws and all this stuff. But basically, one law says you can't appeal, but bylaw says that they can independent review and change, so you can appeal. It's a very...
It feels dirty.
Well, FIFA's corrupt. There's no if, and, or buts around it. FIFA is a corrupt organization, so... When there's wiggle room, they do what's best for themselves, which is television ratings and all the things, and now he's back. So he's back, which I think is justice being served, but the fact it was politicians made a few calls and FIFA just decided, you know what, you guys are right, he's back, is a bad process.
Where did the players come from on the United States team?
Well, they're from all over. The player we're mentioning, Balogun, was an interesting case because he technically was born in America but grew up in England, grew up in London. There's a player who was born in Germany to American citizen parents, but like there's Hershey, Pennsylvania. There's a couple Texas kids, New Jersey, Medford, New Jersey. So they kind of are sprawling all across the United States. And then, of course, some born abroad ones.
So that's one of the things I noticed last night. Number one, the referee last night needs his own reality television show.
He's not even the most aggressive with the hand motions.
Expressive. Mm-hmm. I hope they do the bad lip reading that they do with the NFL with soccer. It would be hilarious. But one of the things I noticed was the huge age range last night. There are kids out there that look like they're 17. And then there was one guy out there that looked like he was 65.
Yes. So that you'll notice that tonight for the Belgian team or the United States team. The United States team is relatively young. Yeah. They're all kind of in the same age range, basically 19 to 28, kind of their range. But England last night carries a few 30 plus year olds. They carry a couple phenom like 18 year olds.
It is
a sprawling range. And then tonight, Belgium a little older, but they do have a couple 22-year-olds and a couple 34-year-olds out there playing.
And last night, a player on the Mexican team was 17 years old.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, he is 17 years old.
Gilbert Tabara, yeah, he's fantastic.
I wanted them to win, I'm telling you, I did. Talk about FanFest really quick. It is already open. I heard the midday show saying there was a line lined up outside just to get into FanFest.
Opened up at 1 o'clock ahead of the 2 p.m. game.
And then, Rob, explain this to me. The match that we have in Kansas City... The last one, is that correct, is Saturday night?
Correct. So
yeah,
Saturday night, we don't know the teams as of now. I will believe we'll know after tomorrow's matches. Yes, because tomorrow's Argentina plays and so does Colombia. So we'll know the teams by close of business tomorrow. We'll know who's in Kansas City. But we have one more Kansas City match left.
Yep.
It is a knockout round match, similar to last night, where it could go 120 minutes, could go to PKs, could be high drama. No more ties for the casual.
No.
You know, that's what's coming to Kansas City. As far as FanFest, FanFest today is going to be crazy. Sam mentioned it opened at 1 for the 2 o'clock game. I haven't seen live photos, live video. I'm betting there are people at 2 o'clock right now who are at FanFest who got in because this match is happening, but have the idea of the United States. Yeah, that's what I imagine is happening. I have not seen anything to confirm that, but I just have a hunch knowing the city and knowing it's a love affair
with
soccer.
Why are there always extra minutes at the end? Why not just stop the clock the way every other sport does it when someone gets hurt? That's the other thing that feels very willy-nilly to me, where some guy at the end just goes, meh, we're going to play another 6 minutes and 30 seconds. I don't understand that.
So long story short, I heard Colin Cowherd this on his podcast, and I think it's really well said. European sports are a lot more fluid than American sports. American sports are pretty static, especially with the clock. It plays, it stops, there's the time, it goes down, 0-0, end of discussion. Soccer is technically at the ref's discretion. So if you ever see the expressive referee pointing to his watch or clicking or whatever, he's keeping the time on his own watch. So at the end of the game, he actually is stopping his clock. So like if you roll to the ground and I'm the ref, I stop my clock, but the stadium doesn't, the broadcast doesn't.
It all keeps going.
And then the ref at the end will notice, you know, his clock may say 82 minutes because he stopped it for 8 minutes of time. He then, in his earpiece, tells the other official,
got it,
throw it up for 8 minutes. The thing is, it's always important to know verbiage here. A minimum of 8 minutes is added for the analogy. If someone flops around or stops the game in that 8 minutes, he can click his watch again and just hit stop.
Got it. Is that one of the reasons we see people flopping down so much?
Yes.
And as a layperson, I'm going to tell you this. I used to think all of that was fake. Watching all of these matches, this is a brutally rough sport. Brutal. I also don't understand, Rob, why when men are flying through the air, like in a slow speed wreck on 435 that you're not wearing your seatbelt, you can be penalized for the way you hit somebody.
It's intention. They punish intention a lot. So like if you have the ball and you've cleared it and I'm coming barreling down, I probably can't stop in time, but they would tell you don't come barreling down if you that person is going to pass. Also, as far as the flopping go, two things can be true at once as a big soccer fan. One, it is, I always think, a bad rap because these are grown men hitting each other. They have spikes. They're wearing the least amount of padding. It hurts. The second thing can also be true. I hate the flopping. I don't hate that they do flop. I hate that it's rewarded because I mentioned the ref stopping his watch.
Yes.
A lot of refs are slow on the trigger when a guy goes down.
Yep.
They see him flopping around. They think, oh, he must be hurt. I'm going to keep the clock running. Then they walk over there and go, oh, he's not. Then they click it.
Right.
It shouldn't be a reward. I can on television or from section. I went to the match between Algeria and Austria. I'm in 337. I can tell you that man flopped. Let him lie there on the ground. Why can't you? You're on the field with him. So
because at the end, Rob, one team doesn't want the extra time.
No.
If you're up 2-1, you want this thing over.
There's a very common soccer term I can't use on the radio if I want to keep my job. It's called blank housery. At the end of the game, you kind of, you know, oh, there's a free kick. I'm going to nudge the ball away from where it's supposed to be kicked. Oh, you have a throw in. It's supposed to handing it to you as my opponent. I'm going to drop it and let it roll over here. Oh, I just killed 13 seconds. Well, what are you going to do?
Sorry. Last question. Is this everything you thought it would be as far as our town with respect to the respect we have gotten in this town and the fans and the sellouts?
Yes, it is. It has both exceeded expectations and been different than I expected all at the same time. So I would say, and I don't want to blame the media. I hate being a blame the media person, but it felt like there was a slow drip leading up to the World Cup of
not going to be hotel rooms.
No
hotel
rooms.
What are we going to do this?
Can you believe Casey? I don't have any flights from Norway. What's going to happen? Calm down. I felt there was a wave of time there where haters, pessimists, Sam Stevie, people like that had their moment to, this is not going to be what we thought. Ever since the tournament has begun, it has been
flawless.
Fantastic for the city. They had one major hiccup. Transportation that first game was bad.
Yep.
They have fixed it. Have you heard anything bad about it?
Not a thing.
I've taken the bus. I've heard nothing positive about the bus. So I think Kansas City has done a really good job of hosting it. And I think they have done a really good job of, by luck or whatever, the matches they've had have been memorable. You had the Orange March, the largest one they did during the World Cup.
Algeria, Lawrence.
You had Algeria, which they had, 4 goals in the last 2 minutes of play? Incredible game. You had the greatest of all time, Lionel Messi, had a hat trick. That's just a fantastic event. So, you've had big marquee moments in these matches. You had what is now the greatest single goaltending performance in a World Cup match when Cape Verde came here. It has been everything you wanted, and there's still one massive one still on deck.
Cannot wait. Saturday night is our last match, 8 p.m., and then the United States tonight versus Belgium, 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Britton with 96.5 The Fan, thank you for breaking this down for us.
No problem, guys.
Much, much appreciated. We're back with much more on Dana and Parks straight ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.